sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Welcome to Messages on Demand, and I want to take just a moment to say thank you to Casey Hill, who's put together this opening for us and does the announcing, and also for Dan Bedingfield, who plays the organ in the background there. I've known Dan for a number of years, a fantastic organist, and we do appreciate that. Let's pray. Father, I ask today, as we bring this message, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives of whoever listens, Father, wherever they may be, whatever their need may be. And Father, that it would bring peace, it would bring healing, it would bring deliverance, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask this now. Amen and amen. Today's message is simply titled, What's in a Name? And first of all, what is the definition of the word name? And according to the dictionary, a simple definition of it is a word or phrase that refers to or that can refer to a specific person. A word or phrase that refers to a specific place or thing. A word or phrase that refers to a type or group of things. You know, the creation story is told in Genesis, basically the first two chapters. And in the first chapter of Genesis, we're told in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then, of course, if you go over to the second chapter, it gives a little bit more detail as to what goes on. However, God does not, in chapter 1, give him a name, or really any of the other creation that he has created, other than like called the sun, the moon, the stars, etc. But as far as the creatures that were created to inhabit planet Earth, he did not name those. And then we move into chapter 2, and we actually find the first usage of the word, of the word name, or as what a name is. And chapter 2, verse 11, it involves the names of the rivers and the garden. It goes on to talk about those and what they are named. It goes on to give some names of some other specific items. Then in verse 19, we're told of chapter 2, and out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. You know, God didn't name them. He let Adam name them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And this is the first time we find Adam called by that name in chapter 2, verse 19. Now, the word name is found 95 times, or in 95 verses in the book of Genesis. In fact, it's found 1,082 times in 966 verses in the King James Bible. So a name designates something of significance or something of importance. A name is important because it's your identity, whether it be a person, an animal, or property. It's important. One of the big problems we have going on around the United States and probably around the world, really, today, is something called identity theft, where someone steals your name, your information. Here in the U.S., it would be like your Social Security number, your credit cards, things of that nature. And they use that pretending to be you. But a name is your identity. My name is Kenneth Unger. I am known by my name. Now, there are other people out there that have at least part of the same name that I have, but they're different people, and we are identified in other ways by that. But our name is our identity to a great extent. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, we're told of a lady who was barren. She had no children. And you know, back in those times, it was considered that something was wrong with you, that you were not worthy, maybe, or maybe even lower class or something, if you did not have children, if you were female. And this woman by the name of Hannah had no children. And those days, some of the men had multiple wives. Her husband's other wife had children. And she felt second class because of this. And the scripture tells us here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that she went to the temple, she prayed, to the point that even the priest thought that maybe she was drunk and he was about to get on to her for being drunk at the temple. And she prayed, and God promised her a son. And in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of God. I asked this child of God, I'm going to name him Samuel, saying that he is asked of God." Can also be translated, heard of God. God heard my prayer. He gave me this child. I will name him Samuel, heard of God. In the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah being one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, in chapter 7, verse 14, he wrote something that was extremely prophetic and did not come to pass for a long time after he had even passed on. But in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it tells us in the New Testament. Oh, that name was going to be important down the road, because it was going to be Messiah that was going to come. It was the deliverer that they were waiting for that was going to come, and his name was to be called Emmanuel. Moving on forward, time-wise, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, we're told of a priest by the name of Zacharias, whose wife's name was Elizabeth. And they were both up in years, and actually, Elizabeth was pretty much beyond childbearing age, but they had no children. And one day, while Zacharias is ministering in the temple, an angel appears to him, tells him, "Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John." Now, back in those days, it was custom to name the child after at least someone in the family, and there was no one in the family named John. Now, of course, I realize John is an English name. It's a translation from Yochanan, which was the Hebrew name. And here's what you're going to name him. And he kind of scoffed at the idea. If you go on to read the story, the angel tells Zacharias, "Hey, you're going to not be able to talk until this child is born, and you agree that his name is John." Well, if you go on and you read the rest of the story, you find out that time came, and they bore that son, and when he was asked what his name was to be, he told them that his name was to be John. In fact, let's read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. While at John's dedication ceremony, when they brought him into the temple to be dedicated unto the Lord, they went to ask the name. And as Zacharias began to write out the name John, his voice was unsealed, and once again he was able to speak, because John was to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In fact, John's story is told in all four Gospels. His coming was predicted in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and Malachi, verse 4 and 5. And in fact, let's read those verses. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that's what John, that we refer to as John the Baptist, that's what his mission was. In fact, if you go back and you read in Luke chapter 1 there, we find that he was told that he was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And if you go on, you find that when Mary, who was with child, came to visit, and this babe in the womb still, leaped for joy when Mary gave word that she too had conceived and was going to bear a son. Oh, what's in a name? John! That was to be the name of the one who was the voice crying in the wilderness. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, if you go back and you study Jewish history, and you study the things that they still even do today in many homes at certain times of the year. They are waiting for Elijah to come. But Malachi said, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. And he was speaking not of a man by the name of Elijah, but of the prophet that was to come, and his name was to be John. Malachi didn't know that. He just knew he was coming in the spirit of Elijah. And today in many Jewish homes, especially at Hanukkah and times of the feast, they will have an empty chair set at the table. And that is in recognition that it's a place reserved for Elijah or Elias the prophet that's going to be coming. They're looking forward to the day. But you see, Elias has come. The Messiah has come. They just haven't recognized it yet. Luke chapter 1, verse 17, again speaking of John the Baptist, and says, And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. It's saying right here, he is to be this Elias, this Elijah that you're waiting for, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that was the mission of John, referred to in the Bible, or referred to commonly as John the Baptist, to prepare the way of Messiah, to prepare the way of the Lord. Then we go on and we read, in continuing in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, an angel, it tells us, appeared to Mary in verse 30 and 31, and an angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with the God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now I realize in Hebrew that would have been Yeshua. Then the angel goes on later, and we read in Matthew's Gospel where he speaks to Joseph, because Joseph was a tad concerned here. After all, Mary is his espoused wife. That means like they were engaged. And, you know, this doesn't look too good that suddenly she's expecting a child and, you know, she's in danger of being stoned. But an angel, it says, appears to Joseph. Chapter 1 of Matthew, verses 21 through 23, and it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Remember, we talked about that just a few moments ago. Emmanuel, God with us. It goes on, it says right here, which being interpreted is God with us. She is going to bring forth the promise that God made through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah, as he prophesied that there's going to be a Messiah that's going to come. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it said, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Oh, what's in a name? Well, let's talk a little more about that name, Jesus. Or Yeshua, if you're speaking in Hebrew. Or if in Greek, Iesus. Oh, we want to know more about that name. Because we know that there's healing in that name. Oh, in Luke chapter 18, it's one of the many stories that we're told of healing. In 18 verses 35 through 38, and it says, and it came to pass that as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. In verse 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out the name in Hebrew, Yeshua, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, looked upon him, and his eyesight was restored. There was healing in the name of Jesus. Now, of course, the New Testament is full of other incidences where people called out upon the name of Jesus, or they knew that if they got to Jesus, they would be healed. There would be deliverance come into their life. Things were going to be made different. And of course, we read, not only was this blind man healed, but we read in another place, the woman with the issue of blood who said, if I can just touch the hem of the garment of that name, that man named Jesus. Now, it doesn't say in scriptures that she said that man named Jesus. I just threw that in there. But she knew who she was looking for. It just wasn't anyone's hem of their garment. And by the way, that was the tallits on the prayer shawl. If I can just touch that fringe on the prayer shawl of this man named Jesus, I'll be healed. Others sent someone in their place to ask, Jesus, have mercy on this person. And there was healing. There was deliverance that took place. And deliverance, it talks about Jesus, those who sometimes called upon his name, and others who did not particularly call upon his name. But there was deliverance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 says, and his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought in him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. He cast out demons. There's the story of the man known as Legion who had all of these demons in him. And when he had this encounter with Jesus, he was delivered. That name can bring deliverance in your life today. That name can deliver you from the enemy that is oppressing you if you will call upon that name. There's power in that name. In the Bible, it tells us that Jesus and the disciples were in a boat out upon the Sea of Galilee. Storm came up. They were being tossed about. If you read the story, you find that Jesus was sleeping through the whole thing. The disciples, well, basically they're scared stiff. They're afraid they're about to drown. They're afraid the boat's going down and them with it. And they wake him up and say, Jesus, how can you sleep through this? We're about to die. Can't you do anything? Jesus, get us out of this mess. And it tells us that Jesus stood up, spoke to the wind and to the waves, and simply said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. I think about that often, and have over the years, the wind and the waves, and I've never been in a situation where I've been out upon a body of water and there was a storm came up that I was in fear that the boat was going to sink. But I have been in some places where there was great wind. And living in Southern California, they have the Santana or Santa Ana winds. By the way, Santana winds means devil winds. And, pardon me, I've had many occasions where I thought that great damage was going to be done to my home and my property. And I started calling out upon the name of Jesus and saying, in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. Now that I live in the state of Tennessee, we have tornadoes here, and there are even greater winds than what some of the Santa Ana winds were sometimes, and many times when there's a tornado reported in the area, I will walk outside on my deck and speak to the wind in the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. I had a pastor friend who lived in Southern California who's now gone on to be with the Lord. And shortly after I moved to Tennessee, they had a big fire in the area of California where he lived. The hillsides all around were burning. The mountains were on fire. The area where I had lived, there was fire surrounding the area. Where my pastor friend lived, the fire was beginning to burn his neighborhood. His wife posted some information on social media and mentioned that he had gone out beside their house and in the name of Jesus spoke peace to the fire. Well, when it was all over and done with, his was the only surviving home in his neighborhood. And if I understand correctly, the only damage they had was an ember had somehow gotten into the house and made a little spot on their carpet, something like that, but no real damage. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And through him, you're going to have power. But you access that power in the name of Jesus. You don't stand up and pray for somebody, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, I speak healing to you. You say, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to you. And oh, many times as you do that, you can feel that almost like electricity that surges through your body as the healing power comes forth, not because of you, but because of the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, sometimes we pray and we say in Jesus' name, and our prayer seemingly doesn't get answered, because we don't get what we ask for. And sometimes we need to stop and think, God answered our prayer by saying no You don't need this. It's bad for you. This is a story I've shared over the years. At one time, I thought as a young minister, I needed a Cadillac automobile. I needed to drive a Cadillac. And so, God opened the door for me to get a Cadillac. I had that vehicle less than a year. In fact, I think I probably only had it 6 or 8 months. Nothing but problems. I ended up trading that Cadillac for a 1960 or 61, something like that, Ford Falcon. Miserable car. But I just had to get away from that Cadillac. God answered my prayer, and through that he showed me that sometimes he doesn't answer your prayer because he's protecting you from something that's not good for you. I didn't need that Cadillac. And I've been satisfied with lesser named vehicles ever since. God, there's power in the name of Jesus. It goes on in John chapter 16, verses 23 through 24, where he speaks more about this. But most importantly here, before we close the message today, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. If there was nothing else, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 15, verse 11 says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Romans 6:23, "But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." One of the most familiar pieces of scripture, known to people who don't even read the Bible, known to those who don't even believe in God, is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." And that could, in some versions, especially in the Jewish Bible, is translated "unique Son." There's none else like him. Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you're whosoever, I'm whosoever, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. We're going to live with him for all eternity if we call upon his name and ask him to come in to our heart. Is there salvation in another name? Of course, there are those that would have you believe so. And there are many celebrities out there and famous people who will tell you, oh, there are many ways to heaven. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God says there is only one way. Jesus says, "I am the door." He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other way except through the name of Jesus." You can call upon the name of Buddha all you want, and I'm sorry, you will not go to heaven. You can call upon the name of Muhammad all you want, but I'm sorry, you will not go to heaven. You only will go to heaven if you call upon the name of Jesus and say, "Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me from my sin." And maybe you're listening to me today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. Won't you do it right now? Won't you ask him to come into your heart and into your life today? It's so very simple. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there are those who are listening today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will ask him into their heart right now, that they too can be saved. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.